Hi there, I'm Jules, and in this bonus training, we're going to look at 7 easy ways to eat more veg and actually enjoy it. But before we get into the 7 easy ways, I just thought it'd be good to have a recap on like why should you be eating more vegetables to begin with. And the truth is, nutrition science as it stands at the moment doesn't 100% understand the mechanism of why vegetables are so important for us and so good for us. But there's definitely a lot of, clearly a link between vegetable intake and a healthy diet. So, we don't really necessarily need to understand the cause, I guess, is one way to look at it. So there's few people think that, it could have something to do with the, antioxidants that are in veggies, the vitamins and minerals, the fiber. But I think, a lot of people think that doesn't, all those things don't really add up to, the huge benefits that you do see to someone who's actually eating a lot of veg. And a new hypothesis has come along that it's actually, there's a lot of research going on about our gut health, and in particular, they call it the microbiome, but the bacteria, yeasts and fungi and stuff that live in our guts. And they're finding more and more about how that's related to health, and it's really seems to be a lot more significant than anyone originally thought. Not just for bowel health, but for all health, and also there's a link between the bacteria in our guts are actually have the ability to communicate with our brain. So there's a huge link between the gut and the brain, which is fascinating stuff. But back to veggies, one of the other theories about why veg is so good for us is because they promote a healthy gut, particularly the fiber in vegetables gets passed through to the gut, and that's able to feed the bacteria, the microbiome that are there. So you probably don't need any encouragement to eat more veg, but there's definitely a lot of reasons to get as many veg as you can into your diet. So we'll look at our 7 easy ways now. So my number one way and my number one tip for people is to eat veg for breakfast. And this is something not many people do if you're eating cereal or toast. That whole thing of having eggs and vegetables for breakfast can be seen a bit out there. But that's really, these days that's my go-to breakfast. I have eggs and veggies probably at least 5 times a week, probably closer to six times a week. I have, Saturdays I usually have something a bit treaty. And it makes a huge difference. And, you kind of think that having a cooked breakfast can take extra time, but really, it's not that much extra than it takes to, get out your cereal and pour your bowl and all that sort of stuff. So once you get into the habit, it's really, it is quite easy. So I love things like raw spinach, it can be like baby spinach that you don't even have to cook it, just out of a packet really quick. Slice up some more asparagus, or I often like cook up a big bunch of kale or a couple of bunches of kale, and then have that in the fridge to just reheat and serve with my eggs. So if you're not a fan of eggs, and if you're not the whole idea of eating veg for breakfast is freaking you out a little bit, green smoothies are another good idea. I'm not huge on, like, I don't actually have them myself on a regular basis. For me, I'd rather eat my food and chew than drink my food. But I think for a lot of people, they can be a quick and easy way to get some veg in at the beginning of the day. One thing I would say is that I really recommend going for a smoothie over juicing, because if you're having a smoothie, then you're getting the fiber. The theory behind juicing is that the fiber slows down how long it takes the nutrients to get into your bloodstream. But, we're not really designed to get the nutrients into our bloodstream so quickly. Like, we're designed to eat the whole food and get the fiber. So I think you're much better off doing that. Although if you love your juice and you're happy with that, go for it. Eating veg for breakfast, a huge one. Having salads for breakfast, or even another way to do it is to just start having leftovers for breakfast, saving things from the night before and thinking of using those for brekkie. It can be a really good way. So our tip number two is replace grains with vegetables. So this is my the other really big one that has really made a huge difference in the amount of vegetables that I eat. So instead of having rice, steamed rice with my curry or my stir fry, I have cauliflower rice pictured there. So you can see it looks almost like, if I didn't tell you that was cauliflower rice, you probably wouldn't realize. And all that is just cauliflower that's upgraded in the food processor. And it's, it does taste a little bit like cauliflower and it's a bit crunchier, but it's really lovely. And then other ideas for how ways to replace grains with vegetables. So using vegetables to make noodles or pasta. So things like zucchini, carrot, celeriac all make awesome, really tasty noodles or pasta. And I've actually recently invested in a spiralizer just to make that process a lot quicker and easier. But you don't necessarily need that. You can just use a vegetable peeler if you've got a mandoline. Slicing veg finely with that can work really well as well. Another way to replace grains with vegetables is instead of using your sandwich, having a sandwich or a wrap, to use iceberg or romaine or cod's lettuce as your wrapping ingredient. So, and another great thing using cabbage leaves as a wrapping ingredient can work really well. Instead of having tortillas or flatbread or whatever you normally use to wrap. Another way to replace grains with veg is to use cauliflower to make couscous. So instead of grating it, I actually just pulse it in the food processor till it gets really fine and looks like little tiny grains of couscous, and that's really, really lovely. And then using mashed veg, so sweet potato or pureed cauliflower instead of polenta or something like that. So heaps of ideas there, heaps of opportunities there. And, eating less veg, you're getting less carbs. Eating less grains, you're getting less carbs. And it's definitely a win-win situation. So that would be my second big tip for you. Number three, just to buy more veg. So, if you don't have food in the house, you can't cook it and you can't eat it. Of course, you need to be careful here because sometimes you get, we can get excited and go out and buy a heap of new veggies and then you kind of lose enthusiasm and they just go bad in the fridge. We don't want that to happen. So one tip I would go tell you is if you are buying more veg, if you are going to take on this one as a habit to change, also adopt the habit of looking in the whole refrigerator every day. So at least, in the evening or at some point in time, pulling out that drawer and having a look and seeing exactly what's there. And that's something that I do try and do, but I've been a bit slack lately and I actually found a bunch of asparagus that have been in there for a couple of weeks, I think, which I ate for my breakfast this morning. But I would have, I completely forgot they were there. So I should be checking the fridge more often and following my own advice. So, in order to buy more veg, really you just need to develop some sort of shopping habit. And it's up to you what works for you. Like it might be just going to the supermarket and checking out the produce section there, or it could be, finding a nice organic veggie shop that you go to. If you've got a farmer's market in your area and they're popping up everywhere, that's a really fun way to do that. This weekend, Fergal and I are going to head to the farmer's market. It's a bit of an outing. It's a bit of a treat. And I really love doing it. It's kind of a highlight for me. So something that makes shopping fun is definitely a good idea. Then moving on to tip number four. So start fermenting. And this has really changed, again, for me, hugely, the amount of veggies I'm eating. And the great thing about fermented veg is that you also get the probiotic effect. So, the bacteria that you're using that are used to ferment, similar to, you'd be familiar with yogurt. You can do that with vegetables and get those lactic acid bacteria, which again comes back to gut health. Start fermenting, and it's really not as hard as you'd think. All you need is some vegetables and some salt. And if you're interested in exploring this a little bit more, there's two recipes to search on the site. So I'd check out my simple sauerkraut, which is pictured there. And then I've also got a recipe for fermented veg, which you can, and that's one that you can play around with. You can play around with the sauerkraut recipe as well, but you can get started with carrots or celery and really explore all sorts of things. And I've even been getting into making fermenting chilies and making like a fermented chili hot sauce, which is super tasty. So heaps of different ideas it is there. And the great thing is that you've got, you know, a jar of sauerkraut in the fridge, and then what I do is just plonk it on the table at dinner time, and it's an extra serving of vegetables that everyone can help themselves to, and having, you know, as little, much or as little, and it takes, you know, practically zero extra prep time. So that's really made a difference. And having fermented veg at breakfast with my eggs has been really great as well. So number five, use psychology to your advantage. And if you're interested in you know, the psychology of eating and food, there's a brilliant book called Mindless Eating by a guy named Brian Wansink, who's a researcher at university in America. And he, like, they actually have explored and tested, you know, different factors that influence the amount of food that we eat. And unfortunately, you know, we are, you know, we don't, we're not so rational in the amount, in controlling the amount of food we eat. So there's some really brilliant tips to use psychology to your advantage. My favorite ones are the size of your plates. So they've, you know, scientifically proven that the larger your plates, the more you're going to eat. So and just, you know, it's kind of, that's just, if you have a really big plate and a small amount of food in the middle versus a small plate with that's quite full, even if it's the same amount of food, we just, our brains will think that we're getting more food if we're eating from the smaller plate. So yeah, if you are buying new plates, definitely go for smaller rather than, you know, there's a bit of a trend to go for really huge oversized plates, and I've actually got rid of mine, and I, you know, have been really focused on having smaller plates. So that's an easy one. And then another one that I really love is that we eat more if there's food on the table versus, you know, if there's extra food. If you serve it in the middle of the table, so you've got some extra roast potatoes, they're, particularly in my household, very unlikely to survive the meal. Like, they're going to get eaten. Whereas if you leave the extra food, in this case our roast potatoes, if I left it in the kitchen, which is only, you know, a few meters, you know, a few feet away, just that change of someone having to actually get up and go and get seconds might be not enough to stop my Irishman, but definitely I know I wouldn't get up and go on and get seconds. So you're way more likely to eat less if you're not leaving extra food on the table. And you can also use this to eat more to kind of reverse that. So I always try and serve a salad, and I mentioned my fermented veg. Serve things that you want people to eat more of, that are the healthier options. Put extras in the middle of the table so that it's easy for us to do that. And, you know, I try and serve a salad or some sort of veg with every meal, and they invariably get eaten if they're on the table. But there's a whole world there. And if you're interested in this topic, really encourage you to check out that book. So tip number six is to prep in bulk or prep in advance. So for example, the cauliflower rice that I mentioned, if I'm making that, I'll usually grate the whole cauliflower rather than just as enough for whatever meal we're having, and then just keep it in the fridge to have, you know, for other meals or with my rice, or I'll have with my rice with my eggs for breakfast, or I'll use it in a salad for lunch with some, you know, canned fish, some tuna or sardines or something. You know, if I'm cooking a bunch of kale, rather than, I'll try and, you know, buy a couple of bunches and chop them up and cook them all at once. And it does take a little bit extra time, but it's not, you know, it's not that much. And then you have the food prepared, and it makes it so much easier to actually eat the vegetables. It's because when you're tired, you know, you've got this stuff there that's ready to go. Another great thing that I don't do, I know I should, is to, you know, have a time where you're chopping up or prepping your veg to have for snacks, so carrots and snow peas, red peppers, whatever, and you're just having them chopped and kept in the fridge ready to go when you need a snack. Something I should do, I know my sister does it, which is a really great thing. But yeah, prepping in advance and prepping in bulk really helps, particularly, you know, for those times when during the week when you're really pushed for time. Then finally, way number seven is don't forget the freezer. So the great thing with frozen veg is that they lose very little nutrition, and I've actually seen studies where comparing really veg that have been frozen versus old veg from that have never been frozen, and the the frozen veg actually had, you know, more vitamins and minerals, or definitely more vitamins than, so better nutrition than vegetables, are getting a bit past it in the fresh food section. So definitely a big fan of frozen veg, particularly given frozen peas are the pretty much only green vegetable that my 2-year-old will eat at the moment. But so peas are great. I also love, you know, frozen spinach can be great. If you can get frozen collard greens and frozen kale, that's awesome. And the great thing is, you know, they keep in the freezer for ages. So it's like a little stockpile, you know, an extension on your pantry. But also, you know, they're kind of pretty much washed and prepped and ready for you to use. So it's a really easy way to go, particularly, you know, if you think of opening a pack of frozen peas rather than having to shell the peas, that's huge. So I've even tried chopped onions, and that, if you hate chopping onions, frozen chopped onions can be really great. You can just tip some into a pan and cook it straight away. So, you know, the texture of some frozen veg like broccoli and cauliflower, you know, isn't the same as fresh, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. So just really encourage you to explore your vegetable section. And then finally, I've got an extra bonus tip for you. So if there's a particular vegetable that you don't like, that you kind of, you know, wish that you did like, or you'd like to change that situation, I've got a few tips for you. So I've got a picture there of Brussels sprouts. So for me, growing up, I hated Brussels sprouts. We used to think that mum was punishing us when she cooked Brussels sprouts. That's how much it was a negative in my family. But now I absolutely love them. And the thing that really changed that was to trying a different way of preparing. So in the Brussels sprouts example, my mum used to boil the crap out of the Brussels sprouts, and they'd be like all soggy and cabbagey and smelly, sulfury. Whereas I found with Brussels sprouts, either pan frying or roasting, or doing a combination where you start them off on the pan and then finish them off in the oven, makes a huge world of difference. You get some crispy bits and you don't get any of that sulfury, cabbagey flavor, and they're really super delicious. So yeah, if there's a veg that you're struggling with, really encourage you to like Google it, or just do a search on the Stone Soup Virtual Cookery School site for recipes, and try a new way of preparing, and you'll be amazed how different. A lot of veg, I think it's really just down to finding the right preparation technique that matches the veg, that'll be enough to make change your opinion on it. And I guess the other thing is to make sure you're buying vegetables that are at the top of their game, kind of thing. So, you know, tired veg don't taste good, regardless of how much you love them. So trying to buy in season when you know that the vegetables are fresh, and buying from a good supplier can also really help as well. Because if you've got dodgy Brussels sprouts, that's not doing anyone any favors. So there's some tips to get you thinking about any veg that you'd like to change, that you'd like to become a lover of. So that concludes our 7 easy ways to eat more veg. I hope you've enjoyed it.